He was fresh off the container ship from Odessa when the world ended. He stumbled upon a homemade bunker just in time. Lucky him. Then I found him. Me. He had a particular way of rolling his R's, as if his tongue was made to make me come. Really, really good on the coney. But that's not all he was good at. He was a looker, and he was good at fucking. And that's an understatement. In this world, that is golden. All those high-minded stories about the end of times. You know the trope. All kinds of hedonistic delights as the world comes to an end. Populations going crazy trying to save out fantasies in their last days. Everyone got it wrong. People hid. They were scared. They all died cowering. And now? Fucking. That's where it's at. Now we fuck because everyone's gone. We fuck and laugh at the world crashing down. We fuck to take it back. That's how we live. Ovulation, cum, and lots of fucking, like I said. Golden. Let me start from the beginning. I'm Harissa, one of the fortunates who survived the mass release of bioweapons at the onset of World War III. Yeah, that's right. I was just fortunate enough to have a random set of chromosomal consequences resistant to the lethal biostrains unleashed on humankind. Lucky me. It saved me, well, me and just 500,000 others. There's also a handful of world leaders still sitting in underground bunkers, waiting for a clean day that will never come. Wiping out 99.9% of humanity takes its toll on morals and culture. One minute I'm praying my rosary, working the night shift, just getting by, and the next, well, now everything's free, especially love. Or sex, take your pick. It's all the same to the fortunates. That's where you come in. There's only one currency that fortunates value more than anything, and that's a virile load. Come, sperm. Oh, now, don't you know? You see, the fortunate men, they're all sterile, shooting blanks. And the fortunate women, like your spicy Harissa, were hyperopulent, fertile 1 week a month, menstruate the other three. That's why we live near the warm and cleansing salt water of the Golden Coast, or wherever. We ritually bathe every day, easing our menstrual time, preparing to fuck every fortunate man we encounter in the hopes that one odd sperm out of a million might have just enough royalty to reach its queen. Hasn't happened yet, but it's fun trying, if you know what I mean. So you get the picture, right? We need to fuck so that we live. But more than that, we need virility. And that isn't so easy to come by, no pun intended. Well, maybe a little. Sure, there are rumors of what we call the befores, those who survived underground and then are fucked to death. Let's say a before man is discovered in a bunker. Well, he's fucked by every fortunate woman until he succumbs to a virus. Fortunates will travel miles to fuck a before man. The offspring, the babies. They are neither fortunate nor before. They're what you might call normal. I call them lucky. Lucky because they fuck all the time and they multiply. There are stories of a colony just 10 villages away that's multiplying. However, that's more than a week's walk, and I'm not walking anywhere when I'm bleeding. So yeah, the fortunates and the befores, and between them, our species will survive. We, quote unquote, live. It's a lot of fucking and death. But isn't that life? Or is that just existing? I know what you're thinking, and it's true. Harissa, isn't that the name of a spice? Yeah, so what? My dad named me after the only flavor he traveled with. A little bottle of harissa. He called the spice of spices. God rest his soul. He used to say, Harissa, you're gonna do great things one day. Add a little spice to the world. Oh, he was funny. Really funny. He was also right. And that's where you come in. You see, I'd heard the rumors of the bunker at the edge of the rainforest. The sea breeze keeps biohazards at bay. Little known fact. So I went exploring, and what do I find? But a concrete panel just beyond the jungle's edge, and coconut shells scattered by. What I surmised was a desperate before foraging for a quick meal. Oh, I waited and watched. Put out fresh coconuts, found an air filter dug nearby, blocked it just to make things even more uncomfortable. Then I pried off the hatch. Lo and behold, you come stinking like Gaia's anus. Did I just say that? You were so polite, so refined, a relic to behold. Definitely not a fortunate. But boy, did you stink. So I had to be careful and not scare you away into the jungle. That would kill you. The minute you run deep into the jungle, the biohazards will get you, so I practice my best behavior like my daddy taught me to gain your favor. Spicy me as irresistible. I explained. You stay with Harissa near the sea's edge. Let the breeze keep the biohazards at bay. Bathe in the purifying waters with me and allow me to service you, sir. Until it's your turn to service me. You didn't have much choice, but you didn't hesitate either. You were blind as a bat. You took my arm and allowed me to lead you to the water. The warm, salty sea and gentle seaweed scrubbed years of filth off your body. Your beautiful body. Words came slowly, you told me you held out as long as you could in the bunker. A colleague left you there and never returned. You ate pickled everything, drank and ate until it all ran out. But then you got desperate. A few coconuts here, a land crab or two there. The sea breeze saved your life, but you didn't know that. Listening to your story, cleansing your gorgeous body. It was more sensual than I had imagined. Sure, fortunate men love to fuck, but you. I wasn't just revealing your body, I was revealing layers of your soul. Quite literally, you wanted to know all about me, too. You weren't interested in. You were interested in me. Before actually wants to know all about spicy harissa, so how? How does that make any sense? Your name was Vanko. I liked that, strong with a little touch of exotic, but I notice how you rolled your R's first, imagining that tongue rolling all over me. Oh no, the wetness I felt between my legs as your body began to glow in the water. I wanted that tongue. But first I knelt down in the waves, let the sun hit your body, and took your cock into my mouth. You were so polite. I guided your hands onto my head and took your cock deep down my throat. You picked up the rhythm fast and forced my head down, face fucking me like an expert. Oh god, and the taste. All those coconuts. All that time spent pent up in the bunker. You came in the most sweet, delicious way down my throat. And when I looked up at you and swallowed, I knew you were the one, Vanko. I was finally alive. For the first time in my life, I knew what it was to be human. I lived and took you every which way for one whole week. And maybe we would even multiply. You'd give me every drop of your life so that we could create a new one. But for the time being, I was going to make you come over and over again to ensure the plumbing's all working. And oh, did it work? We spent long days bathing and sunning on the beach. I'd run my nails over your balls as I explored every inch of that beautiful cock. While I collected fruits of the jungle, you'd gather shellfish. You even got good at spearing whitefish that jumped the coral break. We'd eat, we'd talk, and then we'd dance. And then we finally have at it. Beneath the moon's glow. Evenings we relaxed around the fire, roasting a fish and washing it all down with coconut water. Maybe it was the diet, or the lifestyle, or just the way we wanted each other, but you came in loads every time. I'd use my hand and my tongue building you up, your balls about to burst against your body, and you'd come this beautiful milky stream. I'd gather it up in my hands, taste it. Lather our lips with it and kiss you long and hard. I fell in love with your cum. I loved sharing it with you and my need for you to be inside me was growing beyond anything I'd ever felt before. My week was arriving soon and it would be one that would live with me forever. I soon awoke one morning with that feeling. Oh, yes, my love. I needed you inside me. I wanted out into the cool water and turned around watching you sleep on the shore. As the sun rose behind me, I emerged from the waves like Aphrodite. You watched me speechless, your cock growing hard, the silhouette of my figure growing closer. I was dripping down my thighs for you. All these beautiful days spent with you, and now it was my turn. I stood over and turned, lowered down, took all of your cock inside me. Oh. I'll listen to you moan with each inch. I leaned forward, held your ankles, and watched your toes curl as my hips moved Riding your cock slowly, so fucking slowly. The rising sun shone down on us like spotlight, worshipping us, praising us as our pleasure grew. I could feel your cock growing harder, really. Just feel it inside me, you know. It was a part of me. You were a part of me. Pushing as I moved, twitching as my pussy gripped it so tightly, straining to reach deeper as I fucked and fucked you with the greatest pleasure I've ever known. You grabbed my hips and thrust harder. I arched my back, let out a long moan, and felt you come deep inside me. Sun smiled golden on us and held our bodies in its warm embrace. Absolutely fucking golden. Fuck, fuck is right, but it was so much more than that. It was everything. I laid on my side and watched you walk out into water, splashing yourself off and slowly turning back to face me. Now you would fuck me. No. You didn't fuck me, you. You made love to me. I'd never been made love to before. It was nothing like sex with a fortunate man, you. Knelt between my legs, you kissed me from toe to thigh, worshipped me with kisses up to my neck, then you held me close and you saw me. You looked into my eyes, but you saw me. You entered me. Facing me so deep inside me, I held you as tightly as I could, rocking my hips with your rhythm, wanting you more than anything else in this broken world. And you gave it to me. Your thrust became harder and more desperate. Your breath felt hot on me. I wrapped my legs around your waist, trying to get even closer to you. All I knew was that my orgasm was building, and I couldn't have stopped it if I tried. Your thrust became deeper and faster, my pussy gripped your swelling cock. Oh. And then we both opened our eyes, and we came together. I felt you giving me every drop of your delicious seed, and more than I could comprehend, you pushed me far over the edge. Waves of orgasm ran through my body, shaking me to my core. Waves of love, waves of want, waves of need for each other. We were living on this godforsaken planet, and it was beautiful. I couldn't control my shivering body, still coming in tingles and shocks as your kisses. I couldn't control my shivering body, still coming in tingles and shocks as your kisses showered me. Every touch from your lips pushed me over the edge, again and again. You kissed lower to my raised nipples, taking them into your mouth and teasing them with circles from your tongue. I trembled and tried to breathe, but your tongue kept moving low. Kisses and swirls on my stomach, my eyes, and then the lightest of rolling bars from the tip of your tongue onto my aching. I never knew. Ellie could be so good. Oh, you kept my orgasm alive over and over. When I thought I couldn't breathe, hoping you would let me breathe, your tongue would dance over my butt, keeping me in orgasm, holding my legs tightly, and my body shook, coming again, all in waves. My mind yes. Holy, holy fucking golden. Oh, yes. And your tongue dancing again, reviving me, coming over and over. So deep inside me, finding its way, each wave of ecstasy, coaxing your cum deeper. Fuck. Yes. Oh, yes. I quit aching, wanting more, needing more, needing you so desperately. A gentle stroke. Your tongue and again a shock of orgasm. Oh, fuck. Sterling sperm finding his queen egg. Of chorus of orgasm cheering them on. We live, making love, coming over and over. We live, we fucking live. For the next week, we lived in each other. I'd fall asleep each night with you inside me. I'd wake up on the hour, pining for you, pinning you down, taking your seed into me over and over again. My cunt, my ass, my mouth, no part of me was off limits. And you always delivered, coming for me like no other. At sunrise, we bathe each other, cleansing and soothing, touching and feeling, holding and caressing. Then we share a meal and bask in the hue of morning glow. Morning gold painted just for us as it spilled over the water and made us glow. We told our stories. I needed to know everything about you because time was short. You explained that you left on one of the last cargo ships from the Black Sea before the third and fourth waves of bioweapons were released. Then the cascades, the doubling effects of viruses and lethal concoctions mixing began to overtake humankind. No one foresaw that. By that time, you were far away, off at sea, adrift with a shit ton of supplies, but nowhere to go. And those biohazards, they don't just go away. They stick around for decades after a year. You heard sporadic reports that coastal areas were sometimes spared. Desperate, the captain beached the ship on a stretch of beach that seemed uninhabited. If you had stayed away from the jungle, you might have fared better. Foraging beyond the beach sent your mates away forever, never to return. And by the end, you and just a few remaining crew pieced together what was happening. You went separate ways, hoping against odds to find some kind of bunker on the edge, away from harm. By the fifth day of my week, a small group of villagers began watching us. You saw nothing, but I knew. I knew that they were watching and waiting. Most are not as spicy as your Harissa. Most fortunate women will fuck whenever and whomever they please, without a care in the world. A little blood doesn't get in the way. Me, sure, I've done that too, but my daddy taught me about the birds and the bees in this world. Stories run wild over facts. Those fortunates will fuck any time because they don't know any better, and Vanko, you were far too much to resist. But they were respectful. They knew it was my wake. Chances are, as the number of spectators grew, some of them were coming upon their week too, but let's be straight. They were all gonna fuck you until you were dead. My Vanko. Dead. The morning of day 7, I awoke in the most wanting and pleasant way. The usual ache and pain that signals the end of my week was replaced by what I describe as a hunger. I walked out deep into the water to meet the rising sun. Speared a fish, gutted it right there, and just ate it raw. Like an animal. I bathed and walked back to you, lying on your back, asleep, and oh, so hard for me. You and I were sharing a single heartbeat. This rhythm. I straddled you and took your cock deep inside me, arching and running my hand through my hair. You were barely awake as I stroked your brow and watched your face express pleasure as I rode you to orgasm, just to feel you come inside me one last time, knowing our baby was growing inside me. We were multiplying. I came so fucking hard without any effort, milking your cock, taking all of you. I leaned back and nodded. Soon a group of 15 women were all upon you. All ages, all wanting a piece of you, I stood up, and before you knew it, you were being dragged into the jungle. The last time I will ever have seen you. Thank you, Vanko. Thank you for making this the best week of my life. And even 10 years later, it seems like yesterday, I write this for you, Vanko, and for our children. As time passed, villages began to multiply and join together. We moved off the beach into permanent structures in the jungle. People are forgetting there were fortunates in before, as they barely remember the end of the world. A world that no longer exists. So I write and I make sure that our children will read and remember. Children, you ask. Oh, Vanko, you were more than good. Twins. A girl and a boy. Vanka and Vanko, named after their father. Neither are as spicy as me, but there will be grandchildren to take my name. Maybe I'll even get to meet them. Maybe I won't. Grandchildren and their grandchildren's children to listen to our story. You and I. About how we're golden and how we live.